Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted.
William Scott Spears along with you here on this Tuesday, November the 10th, 2020. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And we've got a great morning ahead of you here this morning on WWGH Radio. And we're going to kick off the morning talking about a very serious issue right now that is in the news and has been in the news and a lot of new developments within the last 24 hours. With the pandemic we are currently involved in, COVID-19. So with all the news that we are getting here over the last 24 hours and really the last couple weeks, we turn to our friend who's been visiting with us every other week, Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Tracy, we got some information yesterday, and have been getting a lot more information. Before we get to that, though, what's it look like in Marion right now?
We are overwhelmed with cases in Marion right now. So our total case count without the prison outbreak that we had back there in the spring is now 1,359. And right now we have 385 active cases. That's by far the highest number that we've ever had. We are getting cases coming in 50, 60, 70, 80 at a time. We had even last week between Sunday and Monday, we had 100 cases come in. So they are just coming in, you know, constantly, and we are definitely seeing true community spread. You know, while we might have a small outbreak here and there popping up, we don't have anything that we can attribute this much spread back to. So it's truly everywhere in the community.
We have a mask mandate when you go out in public, when you go in the stores. People are certainly aware of this by now as we are in month 8. What is going on that's causing, I mean, do we, community spread, people just not wearing their masks when they're outside, getting together when they shouldn't?
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, people have let their guard down. They're kind of, you know, tired of hearing about the pandemic. They want to be back to their normal lives. And so, you know, they're, I think, doing a lot of things that are causing the virus to spread, having private parties at their homes and, you know, football watching parties and homecoming parties of their own and all kinds of stuff like that that is causing spread. So we are not seeing, for example, transmission very much in the school between student to student or teacher to student. We're seeing a kid show up to school positive because of stuff that they did privately at home. And that's kind of how it's gone for, you know, our workplaces and everywhere. It's stuff that people are doing in their private lives that, you know, they're not wearing a mask, they're not social distancing, they're not taking those proper precautions, which, you know, is very difficult. And, you know, it's been a very long time, and I can understand how people are, you know, tired, but we have to keep pushing through. I wanted to mention that we have had 6 deaths in the last 6 weeks, 2 just this past weekend. So, you know, it is affecting us, you know, more than it has in the past. We are seeing people who, before when we would do case investigations, a lot of people didn't have symptoms. Now most people that we're talking to have symptoms. So, you know, definitely we have to, you know, reignite that spark of, you know, diligence and doing the right thing here.
You know, coming to this illness, that's an interesting thing, because for a long time we were hearing that people were testing positive, but they really weren't having symptoms, and if they were, they were very mild. They were able to self-quarantine at home, and everything was fine in 2 weeks, and hunky-dory. Why are the symptoms starting to present themselves at such a high level?
I think probably just because there's so many more cases. So then you're seeing more people on that spectrum of symptomatic, you know. Before, you know, if we had had 20 cases and, you know, 7 of them were symptomatic, you know, but now we have 100 cases, you know, and 30 of them are symptomatic. So I'm not, you know, I'd have to do the math and see what the percentage proportion is. But, you know, the more spread you have, the more likely you are that people are going to have symptoms. And we're even seeing that among our contacts. So your close contacts that get quarantined, for a long time, people were reporting no symptom, no symptom. Now people are starting to report symptoms, which means they've converted to becoming positive. So we're seeing that as cases increase and contacts increase, we're seeing more of our contacts convert over to becoming a positive case.
When it comes to the people who have died and it comes to the people who are showing symptoms, is there any rhyme or reason to it? Is it older people, younger people, people with pre-existing conditions, or just all around the board?
Our deaths are all in people in their 70s and 80s. So that is the older population. The people who are symptomatic are all over the board, you know, and our cases right now, age range and, you know, all of that is all over the board. So I don't think there's any, you know, anything that we can point to say this person is, you know, this type of person is getting symptoms and this type of person isn't. You know, if we could pinpoint that, that would make this a lot easier because, you know, right now it's like you're rolling the dice. If you get it, are you going to become symptomatic? Is it going to be severe? Is it going to be mild? We don't know.
You know, yesterday we learned a lot of interesting things here in Ohio. It was said that there has been an unprecedented spike in hospital admissions, and that, and this was the term used by doctors, that it's going to be a dark winter in Ohio if we don't curb this very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what it's like in our hospital here in Marion General?
I know that they have had higher numbers than they kind of ever had before. And so that's sort of how this goes. Your cases start to spike. It could take a week or two before people start to become so sick that they have to be hospitalized. And then they get hospitalized. They're typically hospitalized for a longer period of time than a normal patient going into the hospital would be. So that helps their numbers go up because they're having to keep people several days, a week, 2 weeks. So for our hospital here in Marion, they have been in a surge right now. They're not to the point where they've had to, you know, change their scheduling or anything like that with surgeries. So they're not to that point yet, but they are definitely, you know, surging.
At this particular point, if you would go to the hospital with symptoms and test positive, is there still room there for you in Marion General?
Yes, I believe so. And that kind of ebbs and flows as people get released and, you know, they service several counties here in Marion General. But yes, I don't think that they're having any kind of a bed shortage.
We also learned yesterday that I think the number is 1 out of every 373.9 Ohio residents is testing positive for this. It seems to be everywhere, and all across the United States as well. Why surging everywhere at this point?
You know, I think that we had talked about this several times before about how we're in a pandemic. You know, you can try to deny it, you can try to ignore it, but we are in a pandemic. And pandemics, this virus, it's highly contagious, it's new to our systems, and so if we don't take the proper steps to, it's going to continue to spread. And we have said that, you know, pandemics kind of come in these waves. We're definitely in a wave right now. Before, you could see very evenly our peaks and valleys. They were equally spread apart, and you could kind of predict when the next peak was going to be in the next valley. Right now, we're in a long period of just climbing up, up, up. So it's broken that pattern of consistency that we've had this entire time because that spread is so big. And you get to that point where it's spreading so fast that there, you know, you have to take very aggressive measures to stop it. And I don't think that people are willing to do that right now.
Well, when it comes to those aggressive measures and things of that nature, do you think the government, which has before, the state government, will have to step in at some point here?
I wish I knew. I think, you know, that it would help if they did, but I don't think that it's feasible. I don't think that the public would tolerate it. And, you know, the public, you know, it's ultimately our responsibility as citizens to say, you know, we don't want people to get sick. We don't want people to suffer. We don't want people to die. And so we're going to take these measures to stop it. You know, the government could come in and say we're shutting down schools or we're shutting down, you know, employment places like we did in March and April. But if people are going to have private parties at their house, we can't regulate that. We can't show up to people's door, you know, and tell them they have to break up their party. So it won't help to shut those things down if people are going to continue to do, you know, unsafe things in their private life.
So at this point, if there probably won't be any kind of government intervention and there's really nothing we can do with people getting together privately, what is the end game of this as numbers continue to grow? Because that doesn't seem to be affecting people either.
I know. It's very unusual. You know, people will say, well, yes, but the deaths were in elderly people. And there doesn't seem to be that empathy where these people would not have died if it wasn't for coronavirus. They would still be here. And so, you know, it's almost like there's a barrier up that's preventing people from having this empathy and wanting to protect others, which is unusual, I think. I hope it doesn't have to get to the point where people are seeing this affect them personally before they'll start taking it seriously. That's what we've been trying to prevent. We don't want people to have to learn the hard way and suffer in order to understand how serious this virus is. So I'm hoping that people, you know, will kind of heed these warnings, and they're starting to know somebody who was positive, and so, you know, that makes it come very close to home, and people will start to, you know, do the right thing again. But, you know, so it's just putting a lot of trust in our community that, you know, they want to do the right thing. They want to keep this virus out.
You know, I'm still surprised that there is still a lot of confusion about the masks. Now, as far as the masks go, for what we know, if I wear a mask, does that protect me from not getting it, or does that just protect somebody else, if I would have it, from me giving it to them?
Exactly. If you wear your mask, you're protecting other people from getting it if you happen to have it. If we all wear our mask, then we're all protecting each other. So because we can't tell who has the virus, we can't tell who's asymptomatic and carrying the virus, or if you're going to develop symptoms, you're usually contagious 48 hours before you develop those symptoms, so you're walking around completely normal. So we wear our mask to protect the other person from us. And when we all wear our mask, then we're all being protected.
So just to be clear, because I know people who are taking this very seriously as they get older, and younger people as well, if I put the mask on and I'm in the grocery store and there are people in the grocery store who go in and are not wearing a mask, I can still get it if they don't
right.
have the mask on.
Yes, because your eyes are still exposed. And so you can get the germs in through your eyes. When you see people that don't have their mask on, but you can tell it's way too big, it drops down, that means air is coming in around all sides, or they wear it under their nose. So they technically have a mask on their face, but they're not wearing it correctly. But if you go into the grocery store and you're wearing your mask 100% correctly, somebody walks by you, breathes on you, it can come in through your eyes, and you can still catch coronavirus that way.
Mm. And just to be knowledgeable about this, so we're all a little more knowledgeable, What are the symptoms like as opposed or different from a flu or a cold or allergies? Because a lot of people are having those issues right now as well.
Yeah, we are definitely seeing that in our outpatient visits and things like that. People are trying to figure out which one they have. One of the biggest indicators of coronavirus is the loss of your taste and smell. And so that's definitely something to look out for. And then if it feels different than your normal allergies, so maybe you feel extra tired. Maybe you don't typically get a sore throat with your allergies, and now you've got a sore throat. Maybe you're having a headache or diarrhea or an upset stomach. All of those are symptoms of coronavirus. And so it's always best to err on the side of caution. Call your doctor, explain your symptoms, and they will kind of go through a checklist with you and determine whether you need a COVID test or not. But you're looking for things that are different from your normal allergies.
Tracy, this is a big confusion to me, and I don't know why I didn't think about this till recently, but I was out at a restaurant, and when you go into a restaurant, clearly you cannot eat without taking your mask off. It's your mouth. You have to be able to get in there. If you are positive and you are not showing those symptoms yet, or you're showing a few symptoms and just not sick enough to stay home and you haven't been tested, if you take that mask off to eat and that server comes to your table and they have a mask on, but yet that doesn't protect them from you if you have it, how does this work out well?
It does, and that's why we're having such community spread. You know, everything's open back up. People aren't staying home if they feel some kind of way, or they don't even realize that they are carrying the virus. They're going out, having a good time, and spreading the virus to the other people at their table, to their server, to other customers. That's one of the reasons they want you to wear your mask when you get up to go to the bathroom or something like that, so that when you're walking around the restaurant, you're not spreading the virus. But that, you know, you're exactly right. And then that server or other person in the restaurant will never know how they got it, because they'll say, I don't know anybody who has coronavirus, and now I've got it. And they could have got it just as you described.
Another big question is, now, mandatory versus a law, because we've all went into grocery stores and we've all went into restaurants and we've seen employees not wearing the masks. Now, maybe they have breathing problems. We don't know, but it is happening. Is there any way to enforce that? Is it just a recommendation more than a law?
When the governor passed these orders, it was to show people how serious it is that they do this. And it was to give local health departments, sheriff's departments, prosecutors some authority to be able to come in and issue citations and things like that. So we get complaints all the time. We'll go out and talk to the people at that business. Make sure they understand the rules, make sure they are actually wearing their mask. We do have places that are not very compliant. We work with our prosecutor's office to decide what, you know, next steps to take. We kind of try to work through those issues. And like you said, a lot of times when we show up to that business, they have a thing from their doctor explaining why they can't wear a mask or whatever that situation is. A lot of times it is just that. But we are definitely seeing a lot more places now that are not complying, particularly in our more rural areas, that are not complying with that mask mandate. And then it becomes a conversation, you know, what do we do? Are we going to try to shut somebody down because they're not wearing a mask? What steps do we take? And those are conversations that we have with the prosecutor's office to try to determine the best course of action.
So, Tracy, we just had Halloween. We just had an election where people were out and about on that day. A lot of voter turnout. We are under 20 days till Thanksgiving. We are under 50 days till Christmas. We're in the middle of the biggest surge we've had. We're being warned by doctors that if this is not curbed, the hospitals are going to have trouble handling this, and it's not happening in public places which can be regulated. It's happening at home. So what do you do?
Exactly, and that's, you know, you had quoted that doctor talking about it's going to be a very dark winter. We had that opportunity the last couple of months to keep the virus under control so that we could come into our holiday season, with a low case count and low spread and low chance of spreading it, but we've kind of missed that opportunity. I don't see that cases are going to drop off because of all these things that you're mentioning, the way that people are getting together from Halloween and the election and now Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so we're going to, I think, keep seeing surges through the rest of the year. And so it's, you know, try your hardest not to get together on Thanksgiving, because with this community spread that we're seeing right now, you have a good chance, even within your own bubble, of catching this virus from somebody. So, you know, I just would warn everybody, you know, to not take those chances, not make it worse than it already is.
So that being said, again, that we can't control this, how the community spread is going along, except by hopefully people getting better sense and stop doing this. What is this going to look like? Is there just going to be a point where hospitals reach capacity? Is there going to be a point where we can't handle this anymore? It's really getting out of control here.
Yeah, and I think the hospitals work every day on those plans and contingencies and what are they going to do. And so I could see, you know, if things don't get under control, a point where hospitals might be, you know, postponing elective procedures and things like that to make room. That is what they did before at the beginning of the pandemic when we didn't know what it was going to look like, how sick people were going to be. I could see the hospitals going back into a mode like that so that they have that capacity to be able to deal with the virus. They certainly have all kinds of contingency plans for off-site, creating temporary hospitals, and things like that. So they were able to buy enough time at the beginning of the virus to get prepared, get their PPE built up and things like that to be able to address a surge like we possibly could see. So, you know, it's definitely within the realm of possibility that that could happen.
I have gotten a lot of questions recently also about being tested. Now, obviously, if you go to the hospital with symptoms, I assume they will test you there. But if you are not really all that sick or you think you've been around somebody, where do you go to get tested?
Call your doctor, and they will go through a symptom check with you. Were you exposed to somebody potentially, or what are your symptoms? And then they order a test for you. Most people are getting tested at that Barks Road location where you drive through and they do like a throat swab. So it's not up your nose, it's in your throat, kind of like a strep throat test. And then you'll have your results within a couple of days. We do see a lot of people that are going to places that offer a rapid test where you can get your results and, you know, within an hour. And we caution people against that because they are not that accurate. And so if you get a positive rapid test, that's a signal to you that there could be something there and you need to go get that regular test. So you end up being back in that boat where you need to go get a regular test to make sure that the rapid test was accurate. So I would caution people, you know, if you're going to a walk-up place or a drugstore or an urgent care that does that rapid test, realize that if it comes back positive, you may not be positive and you need to go get that other test to make sure.
We talked last time, Tracy, about when you were calling people and people from the health department were calling people to say you're positive and who have you been in contact with, that people were hanging up the phone. Has that gotten any better?
Not really, no. We get a lot of people who don't want to answer the phone when the health department calls, don't want to give us their contacts. And, you know, I understand that it's a scary thing for people to do, to put that out there. Yes, I was around this person and this is their phone number. You know, that's a very scary thing to do. But we're just trying to make sure people are okay, they understand the symptoms, they are aware that they were exposed so that they can watch out for symptoms and things like that. So, but no, we are definitely seeing, you know, a lot of people that still don't want to, you know, talk to the health department at all.
Tracy, final question here. Knowing everything we've talked about in the last 20 minutes, if you are an elderly person or if you are any person at this point and you wear your mask and you go out to the grocery store or you go out in public because you've got to do your stuff, what is the worst case scenario as these numbers are not going backward, as this is community spread, that there's really nothing that can be done except people getting good sense and to stop doing what they're doing? What's the worst case scenario as we head into November and December?
Well, I think, you know, that your chances of catching the virus are going up as we have more and more positive people, more people who are, you know, not staying home when they're positive, they're still going out, people who are under quarantine who are going out. So your chances of running into somebody who is positive are higher than they have ever been before. So I'd say the worst case scenario is you wind up having some symptoms, feeling very fatigued, maybe you lose your sense of smell, something like that, get tested, you have COVID. And then it can kind of go two ways. You can get better right away. There's like a middle road where we're seeing people who, you know, continue to have symptoms mildly for months after they have coronavirus. Or you could end up hospitalized, you know, and hospitalization goes a couple of different ways now. They have improved their ability to treat the virus, to treat the symptoms. So we're not seeing as many deaths. But it's very scary for families when you have to leave your loved one at the hospital and you don't know when or if you're going to see them again. It's a heart-wrenching thing, you know, to have to go through.
Just something very quick that triggered in my mind there, Tracy. Is the treatment getting any better? We're hearing all these things about vaccines and medicines that are helping. Is the treatment for this any better than it was in the beginning?
I definitely think that it's better than it was. They have a much better, they don't know everything yet about the virus. It's still new and they're still trying things, but they have a much better understanding of how it progresses, what it attacks, what they need to look out for. And so that's, you know, making the outcome a lot better for people. In the beginning, if you were put on a ventilator, that was pretty much the end of what they were able to do for you. And now a ventilator does not mean a death sentence because they have medications like that remdesivir. They have other treatments that they're doing to prevent you from even getting to the ventilator stage. So it's definitely improving.
Tracy, I can't thank you enough for calling in. I know it's a very busy time for you, and I'll look forward to speaking to you, I think, a couple days before Thanksgiving. Hopefully we're in a better place by then.
Hopefully. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner. Now, listen, here we are, okay? The election's over, Halloween's over, we're heading into the holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and this is where we are. We're talking about in the past week, one out of every 373 Ohioans testing positive. We're talking about people in hospitals saying if this is not curved, there's going to be a problem with hospitals being able to accommodate everybody. We're not there yet, but the people in the hospitals are calling it a dark winter if we don't get it under control. And apparently it's being all done through community spread. It has nothing to do with the grocery store or the restaurant. Well, I guess maybe a little bit, but it's people getting together at home and not wearing a mask at home and taking the mask off in the restaurant and doing this sort of thing. Well, here we are. And apparently, according to Tracy there, there's probably not going to be a government intervention because how do you stop people from congregating in private places? Which is apparently how this is being spread to a large degree. And I'll tell you, a lot of this, in my opinion, has to do with money. You know, people need money. You can't stay home for 2 weeks if nobody's going to pay you. And that's becoming a big issue. We're far away from the last stimulus at this point. The last stimulus was back in April. That's a while ago. So I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Not a very happy report, as it were, when it comes to COVID-19 and the pandemic that we are all in at this point. And in the last 6 weeks, we've had 6 deaths. And yes, they were elderly people, but they're people who would have lived had they not contracted this illness. And I know people are overrun. I know that people are getting tested left, right, and sideways. I've never heard anything like this since the beginning, when this all started back in March. I mean, people are getting tested, it seems, by the truckload. The case numbers are so large. It's fascinating what's going on. Do you think people are going to change their ways? Because apparently that's it right now. It's not going to be a government intervention. It's not going to... Nothing is going to change except if people change the way they are responding to this. Do you think they will? Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Here we are. This is where we are in November of 2020. And maybe it can be gotten under control. And I also know that right now there's a lot going on with people in regard to the flu, in regard to colds in general, because we have had colder weather, in regards to the allergies that people have. I think a lot of people don't know what they have. If they have symptoms, I guess the best idea is to call your doctor, and they will go down a checklist, I guess, of what you have symptom-wise, and tell you if you need to be tested for COVID. Now, I do think people took this very seriously in the spring, but now I don't know. I don't know if people are taking it seriously at all. It seems to be that everybody's got a different take on this now, that people are kind of looking the other way. And I don't know, like I was saying with Tracy there, I don't really understand the whole restaurant thing at this particular point. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. How about yourself?
Oh, doing great.
Good, good. I just headed back home and heard you talking. And I just wanted to give my little 2 cents in.
Well, go right ahead.
Well, you know, when I had the COVID check on you call that phone number, they ask you a whole bunch of different questions, you know, and see if you have the COVID or not. But some of the symptoms, like if you see some of the symptoms, whatever you got, it could be related to something else. So without them testing you, it's because they give you that screening on the telephone. How do you know if you really have it or not? Because sometimes you might have some of the symptoms, but you might not have them all. I think instead of them screening you, they should just say, okay, come on in and get a test.
Well, I think in most cases with most doctors now, if you're showing any symptoms because of the surge, more than likely they're sending you for the test.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because when I first thought I was having it, you know, the doctors wanted me to call and get it done. They had to screen me and ask me these questions, and I was like, wait a minute, how do you know it's because I have a headache or sniffles or cough or whatever? That could be a common cold, and without testing me, how do you know for sure if I have it or not? It might be like a week, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, I think in the beginning, one of the issues was they didn't have enough tests, so they were really trying to only test people who they really thought were in serious danger, and they did not have the Bart's Road testing site set up, and I know a lot of grocery stores were not testing people yet, the pharmacies in those grocery stores. Now they are. So there's a lot more tests to go around now than there were back in March and April.
So if I go to the drive-up tent, like a tent there on Bart's Road, right? You just drive up to a tent, whatever. Is that free, or do they charge your insurance?
You know, I think it depends on who you are at this particular point. I don't know that it is free. I think you have to be recommended by your doctor still at this point. Now, I know there are places that do it free, The free clinic across the street, the Center Street Clinic, was doing it for free. They were having weekend tests where you could just pull up and they would do it for free. I don't know if that's still going on at this point, but the Barks Road location is set up through the hospital. So I imagine they're going to take some information from you.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious how that works. I saw those on Facebook, you know. They drive up 10. I didn't know if they ask for your insurance. Or what?
Well, I think at this point, the bigger question is the cases are higher than they've ever been. The people testing positive in Marion are higher than they've ever been. And it's community spread. It's because people are getting together in their homes. It's because more people are going out and doing. It's not in the grocery stores. It's not in the department stores. It's because people just are doing things on their own.
Right. And, of course, some people are not following the protocol to the max. But, you know, this is all new to us, and we never had a pandemic in this era. And it's something that people have to get used to and try to follow the guidelines best of the ability. But I don't know. It's going to be a while to try to get this virus killed. I'm sure.
Well, one of the problems right now is that, you know, for the first 7 months, we did okay. There was never a worry of the hospitals being overrun. The numbers would go up, but then they would go back down. People did seem to take it seriously. Now, for some reason, it's not being taken seriously, and the hospitals put out a warning yesterday, and they're saying, if something doesn't happen soon, we're going to be overrun. And they have not been overrun in the first 7 months of this.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. What's your intake in on it? I mean, you think it's going to be over by next year once they get the vaccine, or you think it's going to be a while?
Well, I think the vaccine will help it, but I don't. I think right now is the bigger worry that people better have, because there's not going to be a vaccine by the first of the year. And if people do not get it under control fairly quickly here, there's going to be a time, possibly, when the hospitals are overrun. And that's the big problem.
So what do you see people should do? I mean, how do you think to get it under control? I mean,
well, just like Tracy just said. Like Tracy just said, you've got to stop getting together without following the protocols. You've got to...
less than 10 people, wear a mask.
Wear a mask, less than 10 people. The restaurants are a little worrisome to people now because, you know, when you go into a restaurant, you take your mask off. So, and she did say definitively this morning, by the way, because there's been a big question of this. She said definitively, the mask does not protect you. It protects the other person from you. So, if you have a mask on and the other person does not, and the other person has it, you can get it.
Why? If you have a mask, you're not breathing it.
Because it can go in your eyes.
What if you wear glasses?
I don't think that totally covers up your eyes.
So the little particles in the air, it's going to go right through the top of your glasses and go down.
I would say so.
Yeah. What if I close my eyes?
Well, I think you probably run into a lot of shelves.
No, if I said to talk to the person, have a mask on, my glasses on, and I close my eyes, will you still get it?
I don't know where you're having these conversations. I would rather just have them put on a mask. Now, that would stop the issue.
No, it's just a word of speaking, that's all.
Well, the problem is people believe, and that's one of the big problems of this, is what people believe. People believe that if you wear the mask, you can't get it, and that is not the case. It's never been the case. The case
no,
is...
No, absolutely not. But so that's why the other person should wear a mask, too, from spreading it. Absolutely.
Right, if we all wore masks, that would stop it. But we don't.
And everybody wore glasses.
Well, no. I mean, if everybody wore a mask, it'd be fine. The problem is when you have one person with a mask and one person with nothing. Because when it comes out of their mouth, that's where it's going into your eyes. But if they have a mask on and you have a mask on, there's no way to transmit it at that point.
So that's why some of the people wearing those shields. because it goes in your eyeballs.
Well,
have you seen those shields?
I've seen the shields, but I don't know. There's been a lot of question about how effective those are, because there's area under those. I think a lot of people are wearing those shields because they have breathing issues.
Well, they wear a mask, too, on top of it. That's why I saw some people wearing a mask.
Well, if they do that, I think they're probably okay, then.
Yeah.
But the problem is, nothing is anything going to stop people from doing what they're doing? That is the problem.
Well, no. I mean, if somebody doesn't want to be controlled, they're not going to do it. There's a lot of people that want to be in control, and if it's something that is in control, then they won't want to do it. You're not gonna make anybody. There's some people out there that just doesn't want to follow people's rules. You know what I mean? You're gonna have people that don't want to listen to people. I mean, it's just the way it is, I guess.
Well, when something is life or death like this, I would think that people would, they don't have to stop what they're doing, but I would think they would be a little more cautious. They certainly were in the beginning.
Well, you think they would be more cautious, you think they would be more courtesy, but like, again, you know well as I know, look at all these people on TV that don't wear a mask. You know, I don't know. You can't make people do what they don't want to do. That's for sure, Mike.
Well, no, you can't make people do what they don't want to do, and that's why this is happening, because it's community spread. It's not about the stores, as Tracy was saying. It's not about that. It's about people who are just getting together in their own groups and not wearing a mask at all, and there you go.
Right. Now, did she say something about less than 10 people now again in the room, or?
Well, that's never changed, but the problem is now is that it is spreading so quickly. One out of every 373 people as of last week is testing positive in Ohio. So the odds of somebody being in your group who has tested positive are getting higher. That's the issue.
Yeah. So Marion County is in the red again. Are they the only county around us in the red, or is it like...
Oh, no, there's a lot of counties in Ohio in the red right now.
No, I mean surrounding counties of Ohio.
You know, I don't know. I haven't paid much attention to that, but I know that they are all on the upswing. Every state is on the upswing at this point. Every county's on the upswing at this point. Nobody's going backward.
Okay, I just know if like, it was Delaware or Galleon or Bucyrus. If all those around us are in the red as well, I'm just curious about that.
I don't know. All I know is nothing's going backwards. So if they aren't in the red, they're going to get there quick if they don't fix their problems.
So what does she think the problem is in Marion County? Keep our health side.
Just community spread. It's community spread.
What do they have in the works to stop it? Do they have
nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. You can't do anything. You cannot tell people what to do in their own home. You can't tell people what to do in their own yard. And as long as you keep these businesses open, you can't tell people not to go there.
Or could you tell them to wear a mask?
Well, that's the problem. If you go, as I said to her this morning, if you go to a restaurant, how can you eat with a mask on? You have to take it off. So when you take it off, if you have the illness, even if the server has a mask on, he can get the illness because you now have taken yours off.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good point.
Nothing you can do.
So, I don't know. It's going to be very difficult to get rid of this illness, it sounds like.
Well, to get rid of it, there's something drastic will have to be done. But at this particular point, the problem is that it's not being spread by businesses. According to Tracy, it doesn't sound that way, that it's being spread just by community get-togethers.
Right. Hey, can I switch the subject real quick and see if you have this answer?
Okay, go ahead.
I saw on yesterday online that a lady in Texas got in trouble for fraud. For voting, was that a fake news or was that true? Did you research that at all? Or
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Oh, okay, something about I think it was on Channel 6, I believe. It was a lady down in Texas got in trouble for voting fraud.
Well, I just searched it out, and I don't see any...
So I don't know if it was a fake page. I really didn't have time to look into it. But
I say I don't see anything on... to be honest, I don't know that that's... and it was only 134 counts at this particular point, and it's in Texas, a state that went for President Trump, so I don't know that that would make any difference at this point.
Yeah. So it was a true story?
Well, I don't know. It's being reported on some interesting sites. I don't see it being reported by any big... sites, but it's basically just saying that this woman submitted voter registration applications for 67 residents without their signature or effective consent and pretended to be their agent. So that's what happened.
Okay.
So it's 67 people. That's not going to swing anything.
Right. Interesting. Well, hopefully, like I said, back to the old virus. Hopefully they can people in the public area can get the numbers down, especially because that's going to hurt the stores too, right? Because you guys probably have to go back to the curbside pickup or something.
No, that's what I said. Tracy said there's nothing you can do at this point. That she doubts there will be any restrictions put in place by anybody because it's being community spread. It's happening in people's living rooms. That you can't stop people from getting together, and until that happens, that people follow the guidelines, and I think a lot of this has to do with schools. She even talked about schools. She talked about it's not kids getting it in schools, it's that kids are bringing it from home into the school, and that's the problem.
Gotcha. Well, hopefully people will listen to the radio station, and hopefully they'll sink in and say, hey, you know, maybe we need to stop, socializing for a while. I mean, I understand that people want to see their loved ones and their friends and stuff like that, because, you know, that helps people with depression and everything else when they're around people and stuff. I understand that. But, again, if they're going to go around each other, maybe they should wear a mask. Or something. I don't know.
We'll see how it all shakes out in the end.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to break. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2010. Why didn't we decide to speak, and